Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where we create an environment where you can relax, go at your own pace, and find your own things without ever having to worry about being judged. Thanks for joining us.
I peeked at the URL, so I know what that's from.
It is so funny. Yeah. It is so perfectly on thing trend. Because it's the about page of Planet Fitness.
Is Planet Fitness the one that has the commercial that they had to change? Did you hear about this? It's a fitness thing, but I can't remember if it's Planet Fitness or somebody else.
You may be thinking possibly the most recent fitness related scandal I heard was Equinox saying that they weren't going to take any new members in January because they were just like, you don't mean it.
Oh no. Yeah. I did hear about that. This one wasn't as much of a controversy as that, honestly. Oh yeah. But it was Planet Fitness. Big E. They were saying, E stands for energy. But if you don't have enough E, come to Planet Fitness where, you know, you can replenish your E.
Oh.
Okay. So, yeah. So they're already playing with the double entendres. Entendres?
Entendres?
I got adorable. Southern Illinois so far. So they're already playing with the double entendres.
Worder.
And in the original version, which I saw, and I know, I'm not sure at what point I saw it, they had a guy with a balloon, and so the shtick is that everybody's got low energy, right? Mm-hmm. They had a guy with a balloon, and he said, "I can't even blow this guy," meaning
what?
The balloon. And
whoa.
I was like, "Wow, that's kind of bold." But you know, it passes the can you explain it to the 5-year-old test? Like, oh, it means the balloon, right?
Yeah.
Next time I saw that commercial, it was, "I can't even blow this up."
Oh,
or something.
Amazing.
That might not be what they changed it, but they definitely changed it from this guy to something else. And I'm like, oh yeah, they got in trouble.
Yeah, you did. FCC still exists, guys. Yeah, I know it doesn't seem like it.
I don't even know
if
you needed the FCC. I think, you know,
Karen.
Right,
you're just a bunch
probably.
Of moms. Exactly. Totally being like, no, 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 no.
The KCC in that case.
Oh my God, that is unbelievable. I will say it is like, it's kind of a meta thing. How the awareness of the return to the gym and the kind of like jokes about it and the I don't want to go and the Equinox thing, like it's kind of it's feels a little extra this year, how everybody's commenting on the gym thing, which is why Rich picked this. I'm sure
so many stories about like, here's why people don't stick to their resolutions and how you can actually go to the gym and stick with it. And yeah, there's an extra awareness layer. On that
I
stuff.
Wonder, do you think it's just because like nobody got to go to the gym for 3 years?
Yeah, maybe.
They're like, gyms are back. We can write all these trend pieces.
I did
about
notice
how
that Peloton is doing a commercial. It's like, no, we're not a cult. No, like they're trying to steer against all the criticisms of Peloton.
Oh, peanuts.
It's like, oh, you're feeling a little defensive there.
I know, seriously.
But one thing that we are clear of on this show is nepotism. You will find no Nepo babies on this show, unlike the Tom Hanks family.
I mean, I'm so happy that we have resumed shows like specifically for this topic because I cannot believe the thingarama ding dong of this. And also, if I'm being 100% honest, my kid would be a Nepo baby on the show in a heartbeat.
I guess that's right.
And kind of has been. he's always trying to crash it.
So, I noted this over the holiday break, thinking like, it'll probably end up in a bullpen show, you know, probably. But it's still going today, January 6th, with Tom Hanks defending himself you know, saying that it's a family business. It's not nepotism to
all of Hollywood, he says, is a family
business. Yeah. I think what entertains me about this is it's, you know, celebrity problems. So it's got that layer of like, you know, like, oh, poor you, right? Which is unfair because celebrities are humans and they have a horrible life quite often. But yeah, this sort of like the Nepo baby meme is criticizing people for nepotism, for giving jobs to people just because they're related, just because they're a daughter or a son. There is a thin line between family business and nepotism. And I was thinking about the whole family business thing when this first came up. I'm like, yeah, but what if it's a hardware store, right? And you expect like, oh yeah, the son will take over the hardware store. Like that's the old fashioned way of thinking about it, right? That's nepotism. That's absolutely nepotism. So when is it good and when is it bad? I don't know.
I don't know. Or when is it nepotism like, is nepotism a legal term, or it just means sort of like when your kids get jobs because of who you are?
Well, it can be a legal term. That's a good point. There are laws against it. So if you violate the law that says, oh, you cannot hire someone simply because they are a relative. But the concept itself is just the practice of
favoring
everybody, your relatives. Yeah.
And that Hollywood.
In particular.
Exactly.
Does, yeah. But it's like, really? So that's the thing Hollywood's guilty of?
Right. I mean, that's what truly did. Like, I was like, no, it's always been pretty insular and lame.
Yeah.
And I don't know that this is the worst thing. But yeah, apparently.
In some ways, the Nepo babies are the ones that have the best chance of getting a job on talent, because you have to know somebody to get through the door. Right. Mm-hmm. And if anything, the Nepo babies are the ones that the agent or the manager or whatever are going to be like, oh, but they've got some influential parents. I won't be able to, you know, control them like I would someone else. There's a balancing factor there, which is interesting.
And of course, let's be real. The only reason that this blew up as much as it did, and there was a big article about it in New York Magazine in December, is because the stakes are so low, right? Like, like you have this kind of social media factor and this brilliant term that somebody on the internet came up with, Nepo baby. And then it just gave everybody an excuse to yell at everybody else about celebrities, which is pretty much America's favorite thing.
Oh, totally. And has been. This is not a social media thing.
Hell no.
Entire racks of newsprint used to survive exactly on that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, it is a huge thing. I mean, I can't believe that Tom Hanks even feels. I can't believe it got so big that he even feels like he needs to wade in.
Address it. I know.
Like, dude, you're Tom Hanks. Like, you could be above this. You can walk on by.
I mean, I really don't know. I don't know the context of his comments. Was it like he was on a talk show and somebody said, "What do you think of this whole Nepo baby thing?" And he's like, "Ah, ha ha ha! It's the whole Hollywood's a family business." Or was it? You know what I mean? Like,
right?
Let's see. Interview with the British newspaper The Sun.
Of course.
Probably about something else.
And they asked him about
it. And they said, hey, wow, we're talking. And it was a video interview. Oh, yeah. It was about a man called Otto. It's a junket. They were interviewing him for a movie. Yeah. And they said, wow, we've got you here. Nepo babies. And he's like, okay, great. Yeah.
If we were a plumbing supply business where we ran the floor shop down the street, the whole family would be putting in time at some point, even if it were just inventory at the end of the year. The thing that doesn't change, no matter what your last name is whether it works or not.
Right. Well, and that's what distinguishes nepotism from family business is, did you give a job that more deservingly would have gone to someone else someone because they're related to you, then it's nepotism. If you give a job to someone and they're really good at it, but they're also related to you, that's fine.
Yeah. And if you're talking about Hollywood, the idea that Hollywood has ever been a pure meritocracy is just absolutely darling.
Exactly. Like, nepotism is the merit. Otherwise, it's a pure meritocracy. No, of course.
Yeah.
Not.
Okay. It's kind of, this to me is in the same category as industry plant.
Yeah.
Like, my son is so angrily dismissive of industry plant.
Right.
She's the biggest industry plant there ever was. I'm like, yeah, her music's good. What do you want from me?
No, it's very similar. That's a good call.
Well, this, my thing was a huge breakout star of 2022. And I think probably I'm also among celebs, but not exclusively, Olaplex has taken the hair world by storm.
Okay, so this is not a place to see movies.
Nope. It's, and honestly, the first time I heard the word, I was like, is it a, like a movie thing or yeah. what is the deal? Yeah, this hair stuff. And okay. it's like, you know, it's shampoo, it's conditioner.
It's a line like this, of...
It's a line of hair.
Creams stuff. And...
Yep.
Shampoo. Okay, got it.
Yep. And it's literally like it's supposed to repair it. It's like patented process. You know, they've got... And it's all this... It's cute kind of generic looking labeling. And then it'll be like, here's the hair perfector repairing treatment. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like I was at Sephora and I actually bought the... Of course. Bought the little... sample size shampoo and conditioner, and I've been using it, and I'm like, ooh, this Olaplex is kind of amazing.
Okay. So it's good too. It's not just buzz.
It seems good so far. I mean, I've only used the shampoo and conditioner. I haven't, mm-hmm. so which I guess are the number 4 and number 5.
Yeah, I see. It's got that, what is that? Kiehl's does that, like, we're a pharmacy, but really it's just beauty products. Yeah, it's got that kind of appeal to it.
It totally does. The Bond smoother and the bonding oil, the Bond Intense Moisture Mask, and the Hair Perfector. And that bond building, it's all about bonding.
Number 3.
A lot of bonding.
So much bonding. Yeah.
But I saw this really funny. It first came to my attention because somebody sent me a TikTok that was like a millennial versus a Gen Z getting their hair done at the salon from the perspective of the, you know, stylist. And the millennial's like, I just want some of this, but maybe, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then like, can you recommend some products? I'm looking for something that's da-da-da and da-da-da-da-da. And then the Gen Z comes in and is like, okay, bitch, let's do this. And then gets her hair did. And then is like, okay, cool, cool, cool. Great. Thanks. So just Olaplex, everything, all Olaplex, done.
Yeah.
Nice. And then I was like, what is Olaplex? And I discovered that, in fact, it is a giant thing. It just like completely
this is a good one.
Went crazy in 2022. And now I am one.
And you have joined the Olaplex.
I'm not just a thing spotter. I'm a customer.
She liked it so much. She bought the sample size.
The sample size. Exactly. Olaplex.
Olaplex. The Olaplex Megaplex. This is great. This is classic. It's a thing, Mollywood. Like, now you're going to feel smarter when you see people or hear people talking about Olaplex.
Totally. And honestly, when I then saw the sample sizes in the checkout line at Sephora, I was like, oh my God, look at this.
Yes. Right. You're like, oh, in the wild confirmation.
Only the good stuff goes there. Only the like thingy stuff. Fenty, Olaplex.
Oh, yeah. Fenty. We had some Fenty arrive recently in this household. Yeah.
Literally feel like I'm like in the know.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing I noticed over the holiday break showing up multiple places was people putting Legos together. So I'm calling Legos a return thing. Obviously, Legos have been a thing since the 60s, and they come and go. And there's a whole Lego scene and Lego builders. But feels like it's having a bit of a, not even a resurgence, but a rise again. Mm-hmm. Because I'm seeing people outside of the normal Lego enthusiasts just doing Legos on their YouTube stream, doing Legos on TikTok. A blogger that does travel stuff or a vlogger, like a YouTube vlogger that does travel stuff, put together a Lego thing. And it wasn't even branded because it was an off brand. It wasn't Lego brand. It was just putting together a thing like the blocks. Like, it was a thing over the holidays. Like, let's just do Legos.
That's so funny. And I'm sort of embarrassed that I have not brought this up because for the last probably 2 years, every birthday or holiday, my son gets his dad a Lego set. And it's become like their special thing, and they've gotten cityscapes, but he then got like a Lamborghini one, and we just went to the Lego store in somewhere. We were like outlet shopping and he was like, ooh, the Lego store, which was jammed to the gills. To the gills. Like,
yeah.
Kind of like the Gucci. And by the way, just continuing thing formation. Huge line for the Gucci store. At the outlets. At the,
like, that one hasn't gone away. Yeah.
And nobody else. Yeah. Gucci continues to be like huge. But yeah, it's you know what? It's almost like the new family puzzle.
I think that's what it is. It's filling that gap.
Maybe that's it. Yeah. It's like, put your screens down, do something fiddly and time consuming.
And the reason I was seeing it so many places is it's a good visual too. Mm-hmm. So you take it from it's gone through the family puzzle route into people's awareness and like, oh, I need something for my vlog, I'll do that. Because I've seen so many other people doing that.
Right. Absolutely. And it's you can get a lot of ads in there. It's a long show.
Yeah.
You're putting together a Lego. Yeah. But no, it's really true. And the kits have gotten really obscure. And
my sister-in-law,
like, car focused. Yeah. This
my
is
sister-in-law is into it, and she did an orchid Lego kit.
What?
Yeah. It's gorgeous.
It I'm really looking at
beautiful.
I did a net search for Lego comeback, which, yeah, I mean, it's like huge.
What made me finally put it in here, because I saw that travel blogger do the knockoff Legos on one of her videos. And yeah. Then IU, the singer, like she's this like smash star singer in Korea with a worldwide audience. Her holiday video that she put up on her channel was her and her brother doing a Lego set that was had been given to her by a writer friend of hers.
What? That's amazing.
And it wasn't, again, not branded, because they have to disclose that stuff. No disclosure.
Right.
So, yeah.
Also, Architectural Digest has a piece from December 23rd about how Lego decorations aren't just for kids anymore, and they are in fact becoming decor. And there is a Lego decor tag on TikTok.
Legos, man.
Including the Lego Botanicals collection.
The orchid. Yeah.
The orchid. The car thing, too. I mean, my kids
yeah,
been
yeah.
building the cars like crazy. Oh, my God. This is amazing. This is such a good thing spot.
Thank
so
you.
So good.
Thank
it's
you.
The exact right time for this. I love it.
My first Lego set was a police car.
Oh, really?
1976, I think. Yeah.
That's like perfect. Yeah. That is perfect. Also, some of the decor in this Architectural Digest, like I like their little, like they've got the Lucite 3 shelf display cases with the cars in there. Like, oh my, and it has the Porsche that my kid wanted. I mean, I kind of want to get that for him. That's amazing.
It has gone, it's gone from kids toy to hobby to scene to robots to now everything.
Yeah.
like just everyone, everywhere, everything. Yeah.
I think that is 100% true. Love it.
It
love
is.
It, love
it. You nailed it. It's the jigsaw puzzle space. It is maybe not taken that space, but moved into that space.
It's kind of that for families. And then now it's like having a cultural moment. I mean, if it's also decor, yeah, it's even more.
I think it may have moved past that because people do frame their jigsaw puzzles. But it's like, oh, you're a puzzle person if you do that, right? Whereas I think having Legos around doesn't necessarily mean you're like a Lego person.
Yeah. Or even a kid.
Definitely not. Yeah.
Well, my second thing for the day is a thing that I'm just sort of embarrassed that I missed for several months toward the end of the year there. And that thing is High on Life.
Oh, I missed this too. Yeah. I'm right there with you.
Yeah. It's huge. Haven't played it. Don't really know that much about it. I only know that I'm embarrassed at how many times people mentioned it to me without me being like, I think that might be a thing. And indeed, as of December 1st, a blog devoted to Microsoft News said that High on Life became the biggest Game Pass launch in all of 2022 in terms of the numbers of hours played in the first 5 days of release. It was also the biggest single player game launch ever on Game Pass, as well as the biggest launch for a third-party game in the history of the Game Pass service.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is the Game Pass effect. If anybody doesn't know, Xbox Game Pass is a subscription where you pay monthly and then you get games. You don't have to pay extra for those games. And when they launch those games, sometimes they're bringing like big third-party titles that people are anticipating, but sometimes they just kind of take off like High on Life did.
Oh, and now I remember the reason, too, that this, I think, had such a cultural blammo moment is because it was co-developed by the guy who did Rick and Morty.
Right.
Justin
Roiland.
Squanch
Games. If you know the word squanch from Rick and Morty, then yes, it's Justin Roiland.
And
doesn't Justin Roiland do Star Trek Lower Decks, too? Isn't that him?
I don't know.
I think so.
Does he?
Yeah.
I believe it's one of the voices, too. I think, like, Rick, one of the... Like the guy who plays Rick is in there.
Okay.
High on Life, Rick and Morty.
Is that Roiland?
There's like a crossover.
I'm embarrassed that I don't know all of this stuff off the top of my head.
I know. I mean, I really should.
Rick and Morty stuff. I don't know the High on Life stuff, but
oh yeah, no, there was a whole like its connections. There are all these Easter eggs.
He co-created with, Roiland does Rick Sanchez. So if he developed this game, then yes.
Right. Yes, definitely. Okay. Yeah. I'm looking to see, apparently it's like, it's got the style. I mean, I kind of want to play it now because Rick and Morty is hilarious, and Rick and Morty was a nonstop 2022 thing for sure.
Oh, it's been a thing for years.
It's been a thing forever.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it's Rick and Morty-esque giant Xbox game. Super duper freaking thing. Kind of wish I'd been paying better attention. I might have been able to play it over the break, but
Lord X is Mike McCann.
Oh, okay.
Apologies. Not Roiland.
That's okay. Real time fixing is what we do on this show because
that's a thing too.
We can. Because we can.
All right, let's get to your things. Feedback at thing.me. Joey wrote in trying to redeem producer Rich's AR/VR game prediction, calling us wealthy tamale.
Rich,
Resident Evil 4 VR has had a moment, at least in the video game world. Additionally, Five Nights at Freddy's and Among Us have had VR releases. By definition, Among Us VR is as big a deal as Among Us, but for VR.
Hey, all right. You know what? We'll give it to him. We'll give it to him.
I know what Rich was saying is like, I wanted it to be outside the game world. I wanted people to know about it. I wanted he wanted us going like, hey, I don't know anything about this VR game, but everybody's talking about it, like we just did with High on Life. So I know that's what Rich was wanting, but thank you, Joey. And we will now give it to him.
Yeah. We appreciate the effort big time. Jody in Minneapolis wrote in with some New Year's things. Hi, Think Finders. I have noticed memes, etc., commenting on how the week between Christmas and New Year's is just lost or a weird time dimension, as in you aren't required to do anything. Also, hearkening back to the beginning of the show, lots of pushback on productive resolutions. Instead, it's chill, recharge, and relax. Oh my God, this is so true. Mm-hmm. I saw tons of posts being like, I've entered the vortex of the part where I don't know what day it is. Lots of those. And then I have seen this like gym pushback, like we were talking about at the beginning. People are like, no, miss me with your try hard gym BS.
for sure. There was a day between Christmas and New Year's that Eileen worked, but was like, I'm not sure why I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
Like not in her office, no one else at work. So no meetings, all of that. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That Charlie dude on top 10 lists, everybody, and by everybody, I mean business, are doing a top 10 list or a year in review or highlights. They seem to be copying Spotify. So yes, everybody always does years in review, but I know what Charlie dude's saying. Like everybody's doing Spotify Wrapped, except for their business. Even Chick-fil-A, the chicken fast food restaurant, is doing a year in review. They sent Charlie dude stats, he says, about my 2022 orders. I'm part of their loyalty program. My email inbox seems to be full of companies telling me about my purchases from this year, like I need to be reminded, LOL. Thank you, Rich, Molly, and Tom, for all you do. I look forward to listening to this podcast every week. It's like a weekly chat with a friend. You all rock. Aw, thanks, Charlie dude.
Thank you. Also, absolutely. And I'm kind of mad that Amazon didn't do this because it would be hilarious to make a chart, you know, like a pie chart of categories
from
that I shopped in.
Mouth to Andy Jassy's ears.
Right. Oh, yeah. My Lord. Yeah. Be Real did this and I loved it. Like I loved the Be Real year in review video thing.
I just felt like it went too fast. I was like, it's way too fast. Anything. But yep. Yeah.
But it's funny to watch it's funny to watch your ogre face just change over the year.
Well, yeah, you know, it almost makes me want to do this. Everybody's like, oh, Be Real. Same picture every day. You're just sitting at your desk or whatever. Now I'm like, oh, for next year, I just want it to be like the same. So it turns into this weird stop motion situation.
Oh, that would be amazing. All right. Lee Price wrote in on the Kirkland signature. I have also seen these t-shirts in the wild. Ah. This became a hot topic of discussion at work, and some Gen Z colleagues have volunteered two reasons why they're out and about. Firstly, there's apparently a fairly popular TikTok series called Ken It Kirkland. What? Where they have searching blind tastings.
Now.
Oh my God. I can barely even keep reading this email. I need to go. Where they have blind tastings of name brand and Kirkland liquor. By the way, I will put the Kirkland Añejo tequila up against actual Don Julio anytime. I think that it's like totally the rep from the Don Julio factory. But Lee writes, most of my younger colleagues said it just works really well with the thrift and alternative look they're going for, especially when paired with cargo pants and Vans. One colleague also recently graduated from a fashion university where a lot of people would non-ironically wear the shirt.
Huh.
Have we learned anything? Probably not. But who's down for some Kirkland vodka?
Yes. Well, if this is the account that you're talking about, Lee, it's called Never Ending Fall. And all I'm seeing on Never Ending Fall is Can It Kirkland? Can It Kirkland?
Oh, my God.
Happy Halloween, Can It Kirkland?
Like, dude, my Friday night is on.
It's just going to be a Can It Kirkland night.
And Kirkland tequila. Like, let's go.
Yeah. Kirkland, you're doing a Kirkland theme party, aren't you?
Oh my God, I totally.
Uh-huh. You are. Whatever the next party you have to do is.
It's going to be a whole Costco themed party and everything is going to be Kirkland. My biscuits. I just planned my whole birthday.
Yeah. Boom. Birthday party. Perfect.
Oh my God. Oh, this is so good.
Then Offie James is catching up and has boot thoughts. Hi there. I'm way behind the podcast. I've been ill practically all year. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Offie James. I recall a long time ago, you already talked about Chelsea boots, but specifically, I see a ton of Blundstone boots lately. Can't remember if you've talked about them or it came up in the episodes I still need to catch up on. I'm from Southern California, so boots weren't really a thing for me, but I moved to Chicago 5 years ago, and I subconsciously still notice people wearing boots. And because the first pair of boots I picked up for winter were Blundstones, I noticed them in particular. This year, I've seen way more people wearing them, although perhaps it's just the neighborhood I live in. It's kind of hipster and trendy. Happy holidays, Offie James.
Did we not talk about Blundstones? I feel like we did when we talked about Chelsea boots, but maybe not. But by the way, when I went to buy some boots, that's what I bought. I have some.
You got Blundstone.
I have some. Yeah. I'm literally wearing my Blundstones and using my Olaplex and like rocking my Kirkland everything. Who am I? I'm not acting my age.
It's the show. It does it to you.
It's this show. It keeps us young and cool.
Okay.
And Blundstones, it isn't. I mean, it might just be your hipster trendy area, but they are hipster and trendy.
100%. January 28th, last year, we got an email from Edmund, who watched a short video of Adam Savage talking about his favorite work boots, Blundstones.
Mm-hmm.
That is the first reference I found. Season 6... Allie sent in things we need a ruling on and included Blundstone books. And that's the only, or Blundstone boots. Yeah. Those are the only two references I can find with a quick search.
Wow. I'm no Rich Straffolino. We didn't.
Yeah. So we mentioned them. We definitely mentioned them on the show.
But good catch, because that's a miss, because they're huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
They're huge. Good job.
Yeah. I actually wore boots for the first time in recent memory yesterday because it was raining so hard. I was like, oh, I think I need to wear boots.
Got out my rain boots for the first time in recent memory because it was raining. Yeah, like they're like actual rubber boots that I bought.
These are Timberland waterproof boots.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I just have like kind of junky like the department store ones that I bought in New Orleans at Jazz Fest.
But it was that moment where you're like, oh, no, none of my normal footwear is appropriate for this situation.
It's going to work at all.
Because, you know, I go out in the rain in sneakers sometimes because like, man, it's rain, but it's not that much. No, it was like, no, there will be pools of standing water. You need protection. Yeah.
Neither the Blazers nor the Jordan 11s nor the Way of Wades, which actually are just mesh because now we're back in full sneaker mode around my house.
I put on rain pants.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I can't find my rain pants and I'm mad about it. Oh, I think I know where they might be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wookiee boots? Wait a minute. Hold the phone. What is this, Saray?
What now?
Wookiee boots. They are boots that look like Chewbacca's feet.
Emergard. I want some Wookiee boots.
Wookiee boots. Those look amazing.
What?
Yeah.
Those look incredible.
Really warm, too.
Also, Eddie in St. Paul points out that the Kirkland gin does not pass muster, which is interesting.
Okay. All right.
Those are good, so cute. But this kind of didn't we talk about moon boots? Like just generally like big boots being a look?
Yeah. I think so. I think we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then it's time for the shout outs based on this week. Rich Straffolino has been covering CES for Daily Tech News Show, but that did not stop him from basing this week's shout outs on the evolution of the echidna.
I looked it up. Echidnas, sometimes known as spiny anteaters, are quill-covered monotremes belonging to the family Tachyglossidae.
I had a vague association of echidna with They Might Be Giants, and they have a song where they sing about monotremes, and I think they mentioned a Kindle.
I mean, Rich never lets us down, nor do you, patrons. Thank you for supporting us at the shout out level and making sure that we're back here for yet another year of It's a Thing. We have been at this for like a decade.
This is season 9. I mean, we've been at it for more than a decade.
Well, yeah, this is season 9 of The Return, right?
Yeah, this is season 9 overall, I think.
Overall. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Our return season was the 5th season. Yeah.
Right. 2010 is when I started the Twitter feed and we immediately started talking about, I know, but really we wouldn't be able to do it if it weren't for you. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And now those of you who support us at the shout out level, let's science this ish. I'll begin.
Please do.
Molecular clock data suggests Morris Jones split from James C. Smith between 19 and 48 million years ago, and that Benjamin Forrest-like fossils dating back to over 112.5 million years ago, therefore, represent Mike Aikens rather than close relatives of the modern Lee Price. This would imply that Louis Saint-Amour evolved from a water-foraging Kevin Sill that returned to living completely on the land, even though this put them in competition with Eric Duncan.
Though the existing Joe Hood has no teeth, the ancestor of Gabriel Cohen once had adult teeth. Therefore, 4 out of the 8 genes for tooth development were lost from those common in Jake Woods. Further evidence of possible water-foraging Miranda Janelle can be found in some of Andrew Bradley's phenotypic traits as well. These traits, including hydrodynamic streamlining, locomotion founded on hypertrophied humeral long axis rotation, and dorsally projecting Laura Abel to act as a rudder.
I really want to do the old British guy right now. What's his name? You know the guy.
Attenborough. Yeah, no.
We need to go back and do it Richard Attenborough style.
These traits, including hydrodynamic streamlining, locomotion.
There we go.
Yeah,
and dorsally projecting. Anyway, yes. Way too bad. Thank you, everyone. We are so happy to be back for yet another year of It's a Thing. You can become a member of It's a Thing at patreon.com/It's a Thing. You can join us live in our Discord every week and get an ad-free RSS feed and bonus content.
You can also email us your things. Keep them coming. We got a fresh new year. Feedback at itsathing.me. What's a thing in 2023? We want to know.
The things never stop.
Never.
See you next week.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.